so that he's making another pitch to on his friend is as a successor.
Yes.
And they are individuals that are going around that you have, I'm told that you have a pretty good record on. I didn't know it, but I heard it last night. Fellas like Alsop, but he had some problems.
Well, he was caught in a homosexual situation over in Moscow.
Yeah, well, they, he's having that trouble now, and he's been sick, and he's been out, but he's back, but he has gone in and told Abe Fortas last week, just kind of laid it on the line almost, that this fellow had to go on, and I trust Fortas and think he's able, but he, I would like to see him in any position, but he will not take one. He's not interested in one. He doesn't even want to see me. He doesn't want any power. He just wants to be practicing law, and he's not going to, he told me he wouldn't have anything in government many years ago and told me he wouldn't have anything here, and he and Weisel have been about as strong helpers for me as anybody I've had, unless it's you in this outfit. Now, he will not take it. He does not want it, and so forth. But he found out that your former boss had notified Alsop, notified us that the post and everybody in town is don't want us to be anti-race or anything, and that we couldn't be from the South and could have prejudices and by moving certain folks out and so forth.
Yes.
So that's a little, you can see a little inside blackmail.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Now, the next one was Mr. Clifford, and I think highly of him. I think he's a good lawyer, and I think he's a pretty able advisor. And
he
was not, he was not with your former boss. He furnished some good advice and assistance. Although he gave them advice, he was with me and so on and so forth. But there's a good many, of that old crowd that that was in there, and I just heard a little question, raised that we don't want too much reliance on the advice of these folks as reactionary as some of the folks I'm talking to.
Well, you see, they're already bringing back here, Mr. President, to the department, some of the people who took leave or resigned.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing. I know that. I've seen that. And we just, I didn't know that. And I wished I could find out who they are.
Well, yes,
and I don't
know
how to tell them. Give me a list of their names. How many of them resigned? How many of them trying to come back?
One of the worst ones already back is this man Sheridan, who, Congress, of course, is going to start an investigation after January 1 of the Department of Justice at the instance of Hoffa. Now, Sheridan was the principal so-called nigger in the woodpile, you might say, and tried to get all kinds of things done, irregularly done, against Hoffa. Now, I have no use for Hoffa. I think he ought to be in the penitentiary. But I think we ought to at least proceed legally and constitutionally and regard the civil rights of a man, which were not done in the Hoffa case.
Yeah.
And I think in the Hoffa case, both the Chattanooga case and the Chicago case, I think we're going to be reversed in both of those, largely due to some of these efforts of this Walter Sheridan. Now, when Bobby went to New York to carry on this campaign, he took Sheridan along with him. And he took another chap, I think, by the name of Dolan along with him.
Dolan and a Vanderhoevel or something like that.
Yes.
I saw that later.
And they're now back here and in the department. And I was amazed when I learned of it last week, because I thought Katzenbach would have more sense than to do that. Because when Congress finds out that they have been brought back into the department, as they will find the individuals who conducted the irregularities in the Hoffa case, that's going to reflect right back on this administration of yours. And I'll get those names for you.
Just get them all, and I'll do that. But now then, Eddie's come in, and he suggests that the best man we could have is Don Cook. And I've got you making a thorough investigation.
Yeah.
He's a businessman, and the liberals will raise hell with him a little bit because he wasn't their man when he's executive assistant to Tom Clark for a while, and he was over in alien property, and after he went out, Paul Douglas and some of the liberals raised a question because they didn't want him to go on SEC. And they raised a question that his firm had some employment from people who were regulated. Well, that's after a man goes out of office, he's an expert, and I'd imagine that's where they'd go to employ people who know it, and he didn't have any arrangement while he went off it.
That's natural.
But I believe of all these three or four or five, if Eddie could force him to come in, y'all would have the best understanding. But I don't know. Nobody knows I'm even thinking of him. But he gets $200,000 a year, maybe $150,000. And he's young in the company, and it's the biggest power company in America. But I'm told to bring him right up to date. And I want you to look at it, see what problems we'd have, if any, before I make any more progress.
There's another name you might want to keep in mind, too, Mr. President, and that's the name of this Judge Irving Kaufman in New York.
Yeah.
He's a Jew, and I don't think there's any Jew in the cabinet at the present time. He's a Jew. He was a U.S. attorney, and then he was district judge, tried the Rosenberg case, convicted him, sent him, and they went to the chair. And then he was promoted to the Circuit Court of Appeals and is on the Circuit Court of Appeals now. He's a very close friend of this man, head of RCA, Sarnoff, and also has very close connections with the more decent people in New York. I merely mention him because he's a man, I would say, probably in his 40s, maybe 50 by this time, and has been an excellent judge, and is a Jew. I think his ambitions ultimately would be to go to the Supreme Court if ever that happened to be open for him. But I mentioned that name because in thinking over after Deloach talked to me last night about it, the only one I could think of other than those that you've mentioned, of course, Clark, Clifford, and Fortas, and people of that kind, I had thought of this man Kaufman, who has...
Clifford, Fortas will not take anything.
No.
He will not have it.
No.
He won't take Secretary of State. He won't take anything. He says that he will personally help us whenever we need counsel. Doesn't want anything for it and doesn't want any connection. He prefer they not even do that. He says just cause him trouble and people get him on a whipping boy.
That's right.
Start after him. But he's a smart guy.
Yes.
I think he belongs to some liberal organization, and that'd give us some trouble, and I don't want to get into that anyway. But Clifford, I think, would take it, and I don't doubt that Cook will. Now, that's a problem I'm going to have. And Clifford was with me against the other fellow, but I don't know how close y'all would be. I just have some questions about it.
Well, of course, he was very, very close to the Kennedy operation, as you know.
He was their advisor.
He was their advisor, and he was the man who helped to select the key people for the key post in the Kennedy administration. And he was always very close and very friendly with Bobby. Of course, Clifford is more of a diplomat than he is a tough, hard-fisted lawyer. I mean, he gets along with people, and he is not inclined to bang the desk when the desk should be banged. But I think he's a very honorable man. But I have, as I say, the feeling that he's very close to the other side.
No, when this thing happened in November, he was kind of on the outs, and he attributes it to your friend. And he's been for me, and well, his statements about the cabinet not being eligible.
Yes.
You remember that?
I remember that.
Some of those things are, there have been some coalitions there.
I think that was one of the smartest moves you made.
That's right. And he's a smart guy.
Oh, he's a smart guy.